Now, the king is more opulent. This is verse 49. He has more money. Therefore, he's able to feed everyone who visits his kingdom. Then, in verse 50 and 51, devotees come from other countries to live there. It's so nice in his kingdom. And, the atmosphere is just so nice. The king, you know, he's so advanced. He's given up his kingdom. He's actually signed over the title deeds to the Brahmins and the deities. And he just lives like a mendicant in his own kingdom. Yeah. Whereas the Brahmin was giving things in charity of his own. But this king has signed everything over to the devotees and the deities already, and he's living with nothing. So he's definitely more advanced. 53. There, the earth, crops just grow without any effort to cultivate them. And there's always just enough rain, and it only falls at night. Clothes. People just find clothes. Clothes are just available. They're just there. You don't need to worry. And the citizens, they're so happy that they just accept him as their father. And he treats them like his beloved children. So like this. So off Narada Muni then goes to South India to meet the king. And there he is. In verse 61, Narada Muni meets the king and immediately tells him, "It's you! You are the one! You are the one who's got the most mercy." So this is now verses 59, 60 to 61, I think. 62, like that. Narada Muni glorifies him, basically repeating what that Brahmin said. So then, beginning with verse 64, the king starts to deny it all. That this is all nonsense. I'm just a human being. I only live for a short period of time. I have very little money, very little to give to others. I have no independence. I'm always afraid of so many things under the influence of the three modes. And I don't even deserve Krishna's mercy in the future. What to speak of now? But, you know, I have this human body which only lives for a short period of time. So what sort of mercy have I got? So then he goes on in verse 66, 67, around about there, to explain why the demigods have really got the mercy. So this is interesting. Let's see. From verse 66 to 69... the king talks about the demigods in general. They've got the greatest mercy. First reason, their bodies are different. They have effulgent bodies. And, in other words, wonderful bodies. Not bodies like ours. They're worshipped by people like us. They're sinless. They're fixed in sattva-gun. Whereas we, you know, we're in raja-gun and tamagun. They can act and travel even interplanetarily. And they bless the devotees. People like me, trying to be a sort of a devotee or something. But they bless us. We pray to them and they bless us. This is a slightly subtle little point, but you may remember right at the beginning of the description of why the king was meant to have got so much mercy and why he was so great. Then the Brahmin said, in his kingdom there are many temples of God and the demigods. So now, the king himself, in other words, that sort of element is there in the king. So now it's coming out a little more, because this is the king speaking. Why the demigods in general have got more mercy than us? Because we pray to them and they fulfill our desires sometimes. You know, of course, what do you pray to demigods for? You pray to them for material things. So here again, we can see there's some material kind of influence there. So they have got more mercy in that they are able to fulfill our material desires. And for food, you know, they don't just have this ordinary, sort of ordinary food that we distribute to the people who visit our kingdom and visit the temples in our kingdom, but the food they distribute is the nectar of immortality. And they're living there in heaven, which people like us can only attain if we live perfectly pious lives. In other words, they've got more mercy. So if we think about it just a little, we'll see that the reasons that he is giving for the demigods having more mercy, they're essentially material. They're essentially material. So then in verse 70, there's a little bit of a change of subject in that up in the last few verses up till here, the king has been talking about how the demigods in general have received the greatest mercy. Now he's going to point out one of them, Indra. Out of all of them, Indra has really got the most mercy. So, in other words, he's just about to refer Narada Muni, you go off and see Indra if you want to see someone who's really got the mercy. So, why? Why then has, what is the evidence that Indra has, you know, like special mercy even amongst the demigods? So there are a number of reasons. Oh, we didn't detail it, by the way. Or maybe we did detail it, did we? Oh. Okay. So he says, Indra has full power to award favor and punishment as he likes. This is an interesting point. Generally, a demigod is in charge of one thing, you know, money or air or heat or whatever. But Indra has power over all the facilities. Yes. So therefore, amongst the demigods, and this he's saying is a sign of having more mercy, amongst the demigods, because Indra can reward or punish anyone as he likes, sort of independently. Therefore, the king is saying, he's actually got the most mercy. But again, this is obviously very material. Yeah, so he lives for 71 cycles of the four yugas. He's got more mercy. He lives longer. That's a sign of having more mercy, he says. He has a special horse, Uchaishrava, and he has his elephant, Airavata, and he even has a Surabhi cow. So he has special animals, better than the animals we have. Therefore, he's got more mercy. And he's got a nice garden. Yes. He's got the best garden. You should see his garden. He even goes on for a couple of verses talking about how beautiful this garden is. Yeah. And to top it off, the final point, and this is a pretty good point actually, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become his younger brother and lives with him there. So, he's got the most mercy. Anyway, I mean, other than the last point, which is a good point for getting mercy, the other points, if we look at them, they're pretty mundane. They really are. So that then, where does that bring us to? Oh, it brings us to chapter 2, I think, doesn't it? Yeah. Brings us to chapter 2, which is called Heavenly. So now, Narada Muni, having been inspired by all this description that the king has given of how wonderful the situation of Indra is and how Indra's got so much mercy from the Lord. So Narada Muni sets off to the heavenly planets and he arrives there. He arrives there. Now in chapter 2, we have actually given a little more, slightly more detailed form to the overview. And before we start going through it all, I'll just tell you the verse numbers which correspond to the different sections. Section 1 is verse 1 to 7. Narada arrives. Section 2 is verse 8 to 12. Section 3 is 13 to 29. Section 4 is 30 to 36. Section 5 is 37 to 41. And then 6 is 42 to 43. 7, 44 to 53. 8 is 54 to 79. And 9 is 80 to 100, basically. So these are the natural divisions in this chapter. So Narada, from verse 1 to 7, Narada arrives on the scene in the heavenly planets. And sure enough, there is Lord Vamanadeva. He's there. And accepting the position of younger brother to Lord Indra. This is why, actually, Lord Vamana is sometimes called Upendra. Upendra. Upa Indra. That he's sitting near to, but beneath Indra. This is what Upa means. Near to, but beneath. Upa Indra. Near to, but beneath Indra, because he's the younger brother. So he arrives on the scene, here we are, and Narada, of course, is ecstatic. He is very happy. What have we done here? Okay. So, everybody is there glorifying Lord Vamana. And the Lord is there reassuring Indra that don't worry about the demons, I'll take care of them. And things like this were going on. It was all very happy, and the Lord is the focal point, and Indra is getting special mercy from the Lord. So then, as Narada is watching all this, then Lord Vamana leaves. He goes out, and Indra is crying tears from his thousand eyes. So Narada comes up and tells him, "It's you! You have got the most mercy! You're so wonderful! It's fantastic! Sages like me," he gives different reasons. "All the demigods are under you, the sun god, moon god, even Yamaraj. Even sages like me, we're under you. And we glorify you. And of course, Lord Vamana is your younger brother and he glorifies you." So in ways like this, Narada Muni glorifies Indra as the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So now, there's quite a nice description actually here. In fact, this is mainly put together by Bhakti Charu Maharaj, the overview. And this is done nicely. Indra feels embarrassed. He grabs Narada Muni and takes him aside and says, "Listen, just please don't do this, okay? Just relax." He says, "Narada, you are expert in the arts of the Gandharvas. They're actors. Yeah. You're an expert actor. Why are you making fun of me? Yeah, why are you doing this to me? Just stop it." Then, and this is described here, let's see. Yeah. There. Actually, there's some more reasons than what you get in your overview book. But although it quite nicely presents what Indra says, but there are a couple of other little things we could throw in. So Indra starts to refute this idea. Remember that Narada said that you, Indra, you are the leader of the demigods, all the demigods, even the sages are your subjects, all the Vedas glorify you. That's the Karmakandiya section, by the way. And you have this independent power to send people to heaven or hell as you like. And the Lord is your younger brother, and he respects you. So Indra now argues that no, it's not true. So listen to this. This is nice. He says that, so often, Narada, well, the king said that the demigods, I don't know if you remember this, on the strength of their good fortune, they live in heaven. They can act and travel as they like. The king said that. They can move as they like, not like humans. So, Indra says, "Don't you know? So many times we've been kicked out of the heavenly planets. And we had to become just like mendicants. We had nowhere to go. And we were homeless." Not really mendicants, just like homeless people in the street, really. Yeah. So, in other words, don't talk about how we've got all this good karma and we live in the heavenly planets and we can do what we like and move as we like. Don't talk about that. We get kicked out. And then we become like homeless beggars. Then he points out that one of those times, Bali, Bali Maharaj took over the heavenly planets, and he appointed his own demon friends to become the demigods. This refutes the claim of Narada that the demigods obey Indra. Sometimes they don't. When the demons take over, then Indra can't do anything. But then, he says, yes, then the Lord was merciful and he appeared to deliver me. If you know that story of Lord Vamana, how he appeared and he came and he got the heavenly planets back and gave them back to Indra. So Indra says, yes, the Lord was merciful to me. However, he only appeared as a partial expansion. That was all. It wasn't even really, you know, the Lord. It was just some small partial expansion. And he only appeared because my parents asked. It wasn't for me. It was just my parents. They asked. Therefore he appeared. And then, when he came, he didn't fight with Bali Maharaj like a Kshatriya and win the kingdom back. In a very deceptive, cheating way, he got my kingdom back. So what was the good of that? Yeah. And actually I felt embarrassed when I took it back. I felt it was bad about it. And he didn't even kill any of the demons. He let them all go. So, you know, what was that? Coming in, you know, and fighting on my behalf. It was all just sort of fooling around, actually. And he says, during that time, I almost died of thirst, hanging out here and there with nowhere to go. This refutes what Narada or the king has said, that their food is the nectar of immortality, this heavenly Amrita. He said, I almost died of thirst. So how can you say I'm drinking all this Amrita? Then he says, you know, all my associates, the demigods, they're all contaminated with jealousy and lust and rivalry. So they're all contaminated persons. And what point, do you remember what point this refutes? It's a point made by the king that the demigods are always in goodness. Shishi Radharadnath Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. So he refutes this claim made by the king that the demigods are always in goodness. Incidentally, we're going to go on till 9, or till we finish the chapter. So he says, no, they're not all in goodness. We're not all in goodness. You know, we fight with each other. And then he says, look at me, I'm not in goodness. I sometimes murder Brahmins. I killed Vritra and, what was his name? Vishwaroop. I killed them myself. And I'm the chief of the demigods. I'm not in goodness. I'm always afraid of losing my post. He said, don't you remember that time, King Prithu, in the past? King Prithu wanted to do 100 horse sacrifices. Through which one can gain the post of Indra. Don't you remember I came and stole the horse? I'm so contaminated. I'm just so contaminated. So in other words, I had envy and fear. And people who are fearful and envious, they will not be effulgent. The king said they always have effulgent bodies in goodness. But someone who's envious will not have any sort of effulgence. He says, actually, I'm hardly better than any ordinary man. Many times I'm worse. He says, look, Vamana, you say Vamana is my younger brother and respects me as his older brother. But don't you remember the time he stole the Parijata tree? Of course, that was Krishna, but it's the same. He says, don't you remember that time? His wife wanted my tree, and he came and took it from me. I asked for it back. He refused. I ordered him to give it back, and he fought with me. So what do you mean he respects me? He's my younger brother. He respects me as an older brother. He doesn't. It's not like that. He took my assembly hall. The Sudharma assembly house was taken from the heavenly planets and installed in Dwarka. So, you know, what sort of respect does he offer me? So in this way, the claims, the king's ideas, that he has this beautiful garden, because actually the king mentioned the Parijata tree, but it got stolen by Vamana himself, by his supposedly respectful brother. So therefore, you know, his garden, the idea of his wonderful garden is just, it's not wonderful. Then, don't you remember when the inhabitants of Vrindavan were going to do the Indra Puja? My so-called respectful younger brother stopped them. Yes. So, how can you say he's respectful? There are various other incidents like that. And he says that he only accepts my worship because of my appearance, that's all, and because of Brihaspati. As soon as I finish worshipping him, he goes. Didn't you see it just now? Because it happened. Indra was there, and he was being worshipped. Then he left. So he tells Narada, didn't you see that? Yeah. And even worse, when he goes, and I ask him not to go, he says, don't worry, you can worship Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. They're non-different from me. So he's trying to philosophically deviate me by teaching me some nonsense philosophy. He's cheating me. And, you know, he's meant to be living with me here all the time. But sometimes he goes to Vaikuntha, sometimes Dhruva Loka, sometimes to the ocean of milk. Now he's in Dwarka. He hardly ever comes here. Because this all happened while Maharaj Yudhisthira was on the planet. So now he's in Dwarka. He virtually never comes here. Sometimes he goes to Vrindavan or to see the Pandavas. So what sort of mercy do I get? Actually, he just gives me a hard time. That's all. So I've got no mercy. I just got no mercy. So then, in verse 30, Indra says, actually, if you want to know who's got the most mercy, I'll tell you who it is. It's Lord Brahma. So this is point 4 in your overview book. From verse 30 to 36. So now he's going to explain why Lord Brahma, why he feels Lord Brahma has more mercy. Because he is actually the son of the Lord. He has appeared as the son of the Lord. Let's just see where it says that. Yeah. You know, Lord, no, yeah, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is directly the son of the Lord. So, he's got more. So he lives so much longer. He creates all the planets and their rulers, and he appoints all the demigods. He appoints even me. He's the chief protector of the universe. He's the one ultimately who dispenses karma, not me. And when he goes to sleep, the whole universe is destroyed. And on his planet, the Lord lives and always accepts offerings from him. He doesn't come and go. Because the Lord lives there as Mahavishnu and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Brahma, he is a Shaktivesh avatar. So it's like he's not different from the Lord. So he's obviously got more mercy than me. So Narada Muni goes off in verse 37. Narada Muni goes off to Brahmaloka, higher amongst the heavenly planets. And, well, actually verse 44, I think, he meets Lord Brahma and glorifies Lord Brahma. The same thing. It's you. You have got the most mercy. You are the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy. And he explains why. This is from 44 to 53. Says, now of course we've got to remember what Indra said also, and he's going to repeat some of it and introduce some other points why he feels Lord Brahma has got the most mercy. Some of them are repeating and some of them are new points. Because you are the master of the masters of living entities. You are the master of the demigods. You are the grandfather of all the worlds. You create, maintain, and destroy everything. You rule the universe forever, practically. Whereas the Indras, when there's a devastation, oftentimes their rule becomes interrupted. You are self-born. And the Vedas and Puranas and other scriptures, they come from you. And it's so hard for people to achieve your abode. Only people who faultlessly perform their social duties for 100 lifetimes, without any error, without one error, with no pride, no deceit, only people like that can achieve your abode. Shri Radha Radhanath Ki. And the Lord is always there with you. He never goes. And in the beginning, you tried. In the beginning of creation, you tried to get his mercy. You got it, and you've never lost it because he stayed with you the whole time afterwards. And then he repeats, you're also a type of incarnation of the Lord. So you have got the greatest mercy. So what did Lord Brahma do? He covered his ears and said, Dasosmi, I'm just your servant. Again and again. And he, because Narada's his son, he had to check his anger. He wanted to get on his case, but he checked his anger. Although he did reprimand Narada a little bit. So then Lord Brahma explains why he hasn't got the greatest mercy. Now, bear in mind, see these all these different points that are being brought out. You know, it's all very systematic to help us understand why these different people are living on a certain level is not so great. Having certain qualifications or receiving certain things or whatever like that is not necessarily so great. So Lord Brahma now points out very vividly why these things that Indra said and the things which Narada has just said, why they're not true. They're not true. And he hasn't got the greatest mercy at all. So, again, in, let's see. This is now point 8 in the overview book. Point 8, yeah. So, let's see. He says, it's not me who creates. It's Maya. I don't create anything. It's Mahamaya. She's the presiding deity of the material energy. Not me. I'm not the big creator. So when the Lord gives credit to anyone for anything to do with the creation, he'll give it to her. Not to me. He won't give me his mercy for anything to do with creating, because it's Maya. And then he says that actually we are all of us, we are under that Maya. All of us, that he's including himself, he's saying that I am also under Maya. And all of us, who does that also include? Narada. He's saying, you're also in Maya because you think I'm the greatest. Well, you know, just shows you're in Maya. You can't see the truth. Yeah, you're an illusion. So, you know, if I'm in Maya, I'm just in illusion, how can you say I've got any mercy? What to speak of the greatest mercy? How can you say I've got any mercy? I'm just in Maya. That's all. I'm just a fool in material consciousness. And it's because of this Maya that I think I'm a great controller. And other people think I'm a great controller. And then I become very conceited. And I think, yes, I'm very good. Let me give benedictions to people. So he says that actually I'm not self-born. Because it was said that he was self-born. He says, no, I'm not self-born. I am born from the Lord. Yes, I'm born from the Lord. And because I took birth in that way, and I didn't go through the normal childhood experience, I think I'm a great ascetic, because I was never entangled in family life. So I think I'm a great ascetic, and therefore I'm proud. And he says that, you say, I'm managing the whole creation. And this is a sign that I've got the greatest mercy. Well, let me tell you, I'm so constantly overwhelmed by trying to manage this creation, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Yeah, it's not a sign of mercy that I'm meant to be managing the creation. It's a punishment. I'm just battling all the time to keep things together. Yeah. So, and he says, you said I rule this universe forever. So many Indras come and go and so on in my day and all that sort of thing. But don't you know, I'm constantly living in fear. When will I die? Death is coming. Where is death? I'm constantly, this is just nagging at me that I'm going to die. Then he says, that you say I worship the Lord. Well, you must know, I only worship him to get liberation. That's all. I'm just so fed up with everything here. It's so difficult. I'm in Maya. And I have to try to manage this creation. I can't do it. I'm just so frightened that if I ever worship the Lord, it's just to get liberation. That's all. Just let me get out of this. It's too much. Yeah. And he says, you know, you said that the Lord is always with me. But haven't you read Bhagavad Gita? Don't you know Krishna says that he is within the heart of every living entity? Don't you know that Krishna is all-pervading? So what is the big deal if he's with me all the time? He's with everyone all the time. He's in every atom all the time. So the fact that he's always with me does not mean that he's being merciful at all. And, let's see. Oh, he carries on a few more. The Lord, you know, you say the Lord always accepts my offerings. Well, the only reason he does that is to uphold what it says in the Vedas. Because it says that Brahma is like the head of those people who perform sacrifice. And the Vedas say that. So the Lord feels he has to accept the offerings. Otherwise he'll be, you know, people will not take the Vedas so seriously. So then he really sort of gets serious about it. And he starts, he sort of, from verse 65, he starts talking, he talks about some more of his disqualifications, but then he starts introducing the person who really has the mercy, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's really got the mercy. So, starting from 65, he says that... let's see now, where are we? In the overview book. Oh, well, we're actually still... Where are we? Uh-oh, we got it all mixed up there. Anyway, yeah, you can see there, point F under 8. He expresses that... You know me, I'm such a nonsense. I've got so little mercy. I'm always committing offenses. So my main thing is, I'm always worried, what am I going to do next? What offense am I going to commit next? He said, you know, I'm meant to give benedictions. You say I can give, you know, punishment, karma, whatever, as I like, independently. But don't you remember what happened with Hiranyakashipu? I gave him a blessing. You remember what happened then? What happened then was that Lord Nrsingadev came and told him, my dear Lord Brahma, just as it's dangerous to feed milk to a snake, so it's dangerous to give benedictions to demons. I warn you, don't give such benedictions to any demon again. So, what sort of mercy am I getting? I'm getting chastised. I'm doing stupid things. When we approached Lord Nrsimhadev, he ignored us completely. What mercy are we getting? But still, I'm so stupid. I continued to give the same type of benedictions. When Ravana came, I gave him those benedictions, you remember. So I did it again, even after all that, after being chastised. And then, what about my team? My associates, my assistants, the team that I chose. Well, Indra, you know, he tried to kill Krishna with that storm, right? Varuna, he kidnapped Krishna's father and offended Krishna. Yamaraj, who was also appointed by me, took the sons of Krishna's teacher. Kuvera, he was the master of Shankarachuda. So that's my team, the people I picked to help me, my main assistants. So what sort of person am I, and what sort of mercy am I going to get? This is crazy, actually. This is ridiculous. And I've made this creation. You say I've made this creation. But look at it. It's full of materialistic people. They just get deviated, that's all. And then the demons come and try and kick my team out. So what sort of creation, if you're going to attribute it to me, what sort of creation have I made? You know, the Lord has inspired me to become a creator by His mercy. But look at the creation. So what sort of mercy did I get for creating? It's terrible. It's a disaster. Everyone's just falling down. But then he says, worst thing, the worst of all. Didn't you hear? Just recently, I stole the cowherd boys and calves. So I'm finished. There's no mercy for me. It's terrible. My situation is just hopeless. However, in verse 80, he's already actually mentioned Shiva. Oh, I think it's back in about 65 or thereabouts. He's already made some mention of Shiva, I think. Yeah. In 66, forget about my having any devotion for him. I'd be happy if it were only true that I never offended him. I can't expect him to tolerate my offenses as he tolerates Shiva's. And then he went into this whole string of offenses that he feels responsible for. But he's mentioned Lord Shiva there in 66, that his offenses get tolerated, mine don't. You know, he ignores me, or something like that. So then from verse 80, this is now point 9, I think, in your overview book. Now, Lord Brahma explains why Shiva has the most mercy. So, he is a dear friend. You know, he's so intimate with the Lord. They're friends. They, like, have that loving, intimate relationship. And he is intoxicated with the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. So he's got no interest in ruling the universe. He just goes around like a madman, intoxicated with love of God. And We all know Lord Shiva, sometimes he laughs, wild laughter, intoxicated laughter. So Lord Brahma says, you know who he's laughing at? He's laughing at me. Because I'm the chief materialist. I'm just the big materialist. He's just laughing at me. He is so prideless that he hides his glories. He disguises himself, you know, with ashes and things like that. Now, the Ganges water is always on his head. That water's come from the lotus feet of the Lord. So he's always pure like that. He destroys the universe, which I create. I can't stop him. He destroys it. It's beyond me. So he's more powerful. He's got more mercy. And you remember, Brahma said, you know, I'm so fried with so many things. I just want to get out. So this Lord Shiva, he gives the liberation that I pray for. He gives it, which is true. Yes. He and his wife, they both give it. It was said that the inhabitants of his planet, they have to perform the duties of Varan Ashram perfectly for 100 lifetimes without even any psychological, you know, little bit of pride entering. So everything, even on the level of the mind, has to be perfect for 100 lifetimes, Varan Ashram, to achieve Brahmaloka. Lord Brahma says, the associates of Lord Shiva, the people on his planet, they're all liberated. They're beyond, you know, Varnashram and being elevated through Varnashram. They're completely liberated. In fact, he's so great that not only does he give people liberation, sometimes he gives people pure devotional service and they go back to Godhead. Sometimes. So he's really got the mercy. I'm afraid of dying. I just want liberation. But he's really got the mercy. You may say that I am sort of one with the Lord or something like that, you know, Shachavesh Avatar empowered or something. One and different. But with Lord Shiva, if you think that he is different from the Lord, that's an offense. So his oneness is very much more. The Lord tolerates offenses against himself, but not against Lord Shiva. If you offend Lord Shiva, you've had it. When Lord Shiva gets into trouble, the Lord intervenes to save him. That's happened on a number of occasions, like Vrikasura came. The Lord intervened and saved Lord Shiva. Yeah. And on top of that, what to speak of him always worshipping the Lord? Sometimes the Lord worships him. He's got so much mercy. He's so great. Sometimes the Lord worships him, like when he drank that poison when they were churning the milk ocean. And final point, he says, the Puranas often sing of Lord Vishnu's mercy on Lord Shiva. So for so many reasons, Lord Brahma feels that Lord Shiva has got the greatest mercy. Of course, if we look at those reasons, you know, some of them a little on the material side, like he gives liberation. Anyway, Lord Shiva. We'll see tomorrow night how Lord Shiva responds. Now, then, there's a last few verses, actually 92 to 100, in fact, which, in fact, number 10 is referring to. Narada Muni was thinking of going to Kailash, but Kailash is beneath Brahmaloka. Lord Brahma saw that Narada Muni was looking down at Kailash and thinking of going there. But Lord Brahma does not want him to meet the Lord Shiva within this universe. He wants him to meet the eternal, original form of Lord Shiva. And that's who he has been referring to, actually. I mean, generally, or in many cases. That eternal, original form of Lord Shiva, who lives not on Kailash, but on Shiva Loka, which is beyond the material energy. So then Lord Brahma instructs Narada that you go there, go to that abode of Shiva, the original abode of the original Lord Shiva. You go there, and then you'll see Lord Shiva in all his glory. So Narada, understanding, having got this point about the oneness of Shiva and Krishna, Narada Muni went flying off, having kirtan, singing, Shiva, Krishna, Shiva, Krishna. And that's the end of chapter 2. So, okay, tomorrow we'll go on with chapter 3, Narada Muni and Shiva Loka and other places. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.